welcome to One Way Sunday. We're going to start off like we usually do with some choruses. And feel free, if you want to sing along and do the action, that's fine. Just watch the person next to you. But we'll do all of the singing down the front. Here we go. One Way Song. Make sure you've got a bit of space for the actions. Remember, we're going to sing it through normally, and then we're going to miss out on vessel, storm, and smile. Straight through, first go. Here we go.
This down the back here. Oh, anyway. All right. Well, good morning, and good to see you here. Good to see the building full again. I want to speak to you this morning on diggers. Diggers. Now, everyone knows what this is. A spade. This is a mini spade. This is Mrs. Mitchell's mini spade. But you know, the world's full of diggers. In fact, every little kid in Australia, every little toddler, what's their first Christmas present? Well, maybe not in Bendigo. In Coffs Harbour, it's a little bucket and spade set. Okay, so you can go down the beach. No, this is Bendigo. You don't have a beach. All right. Well, anyway, if you live on the coast, the very first present you give to a little kid is a bucket and spade set. And of course, there's diggers everywhere, little diggers, big diggers. Now, if you were to drive around Bendigo, if you have a drive around tomorrow, I guarantee you'll see some council workers out on the road with their diggers, okay? And what are they doing with those diggers? Nothing, that's right. They're just leaning on their diggers. Yeah, they're very good at that. And you've got to have something to lean on, they might fall over. But the world's full of diggers. You know, In World War II, the soldiers that went to World War II, they used to call them diggers. Well, they still do call them diggers. Why do they call them diggers? Anyone know? Yes. Yes, why? Because they digged. Yeah. Yeah. In those days, you know, with the bullets flying around and the shells and so on, you had to dig a trench. In fact, they reckon, even in the Second World War, soldiers spent most of their time digging trenches, because you wanted to get into that trench and you wanted to dig and get down as far as you can to get away from all the enemy fire coming through and so on. But the world is full of diggers. You know, in the Bible, there were actually a lot of diggers. Let me just open my notes up here. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, now this is after Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, you know what he said to Adam? He said, Adam, you need to till the ground, and it's going to be very hard work. So you know what that meant? Digging. Adam had to spend the rest of his day. Now, I don't know if he had a shovel from Bunnings or whatever, but in some way he had to till the ground, digging holes, digging down, planting, harvesting, and then digging again. That's what he spent the rest of his life doing. And God said, because of your sin, you're going to do it in the sweat of your brow. It's very hard work. I'm sure there's some gardeners here, and you know how hard it is to dig holes. There's a fellow in the Bible called Isaac. And Isaac, the Bible says, numerous times, Isaac and his servants, they dug wells, or they re-dug wells, because there wasn't much water around, and to get to the water they had to dig. There were lots of diggers in the Bible. In the book of Kings, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 3, there was a king, and there were several kings. There's one king named Jehoram, and there was another king named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoram was a bad king, Jehoshaphat was a good king, but they teamed up with the king of Edom, and all three of them went to war against the king of Moab. And to cut the story short, it's a very interesting story. They were fighting against the king of Moab, and they were out in the desert, these three kings, and they ran out of water. And so they asked for a prophet of the Lord, and they found a man called Elisha. And Elisha, he came and he said, in fact, he said to Jehoram, he said, listen, what are you calling me for? You go and call your own gods. But he respected Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat was a good king. And so he said, listen, I'll tell you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get your army, and I want you to spend the day and the night, I want you to spend the time digging holes. Dig as many holes as you can, because they had a whole army there. And so I don't know if they thought, what sort of a crazy idea is this? But anyway, they spent hours digging and digging and digging and digging, and before long, the whole of this valley was just full of these holes. Next morning came, guess what? Those holes were full of water. You say, how did that happen? It was a miracle. God filled those holes up with water, and they were able to drink water, and all their cattle and so on had water. But the Bible is full of a lot of stories of diggers. Now, if you've got your Bible there, come over to the book of Luke and chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. I want to just read a few verses to you. Luke and chapter 6. In verse 46, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Luke 6 and verse 46. And he says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and hearing my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, look at this, and digged deep. He digged deep, and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I'm sure you know the story. Jesus was teaching his story to a lot of people. Oh, I'm just going through this verse again. And the fellow started digging, and he dug and he dug and he dug until he found rock. And then he built his house on the rock. He laid the foundation on the rock. There he is digging. I don't know what happened to his head there. And the flood came, started raining. The floods came, but this house was built on a rock. And it stood firm. You know the song. Do you sing that at One Way? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The flood came and the house stood because it was built on a rock. And you ever been to a building site in Melbourne or in Sydney? I like to peek through the fences at those big holes in the ground and see how the building's going, because I like trucks and bulldozers and so on. And some of those skyscrapers, you say, wow, look how high they are. But first of all, the amazing thing is you've got to see how deep they go. They go way, 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 way down, because they've got to reach rock, and they reach the rock, then they drill into that rock, because the foundations for those buildings are enormous. They have to be. So to have a stable house or a stable building, you've got to dig down and dig and dig and dig deep, or deeply, as Jesus said. But of course, as the song goes and as the story goes, there was another fella. He came, he mixed up his bricks, and he built a house upon sand. Of course, it was a really easy thing to do. You don't have to worry about digging, just plonk everything down. It's on the sand, wacko, all done. What happens? The storm came, that flash flood came, and that house was destroyed, and away it went. Yeah. And we see that, sometimes you see that on the news, sometimes you see houses of different parts of the world, their foundations weren't very good, flash flood comes through, no more house. So, what's the application? What's the application? The application is, obviously, Jesus said, what you have to do is you have to build a foundation. And that foundation is by hearing the words of Jesus and doing them. He said, if you hear my words but you don't do it, that's like building a house on the sand. So the first thing we need to do is listen to the words of Jesus. And the second thing is we need to obey them. Yeah, we're going to get to Elvis in just a moment, okay? Just got to keep your thinking there. What are the words of Jesus? What are the words? Someone tell me, what are the words of Jesus? What did Jesus say? What did he say? Anyone? Anyone? Sorry? He said, I am the way. Yeah, he said, there's one way to God. That's good. What else did Jesus say? He said lots of things. Yes. He said, I am the truth. Okay, what else did he say? I am the life. Okay, that's pretty good. That'd make a really cool song. You need to sing that one day. What other words did he say? He said, love your enemies. He said, do good to them that persecute you. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. He said lots of things. You know, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. He said something else. He said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said a lot of things. And a lot of people hear the words of Jesus, but they don't do them. They don't obey the words of Jesus. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not get into God's family unless you are born again or born from above. You know, most people today in Australia, most people in the world, they build their lives on the sand. Not on the rock, but on the sand. And I was thinking, what would be building on the sand be? Well, I can think of some things that people build their lives on, or their lives are founded on some things. For example, there was Elvis. And this is building on fame. Fame. People think, oh, if I was famous. You know, Elvis was born in, I wrote it down here on a bit of paper. I should have memorized it, but I didn't. He was born in 1935, and when Elvis was in his heyday, he was the most probably the most famous person in the world. Definitely one of the most famous people in the world. Born in 1935, they say that Elvis, as a solo singing artist, has sold more recordings than anyone in history. It's estimated that up to 1 billion recordings have been sold of Elvis over the years. He was a singer, By the way, he's brought up in church, knew the Bible. I'm sure many, many times he heard the words of Jesus. Yet, you know, I want to give you a quote here about Elvis. And by the way, Elvis was so popular, you know, he was mobbed by people wherever he went. His wife was named Priscilla and his daughter was named Lisa Marie. And you know, if he wanted to take his wife and daughter to an amusement park, you know what he had to do? He had to hire the whole amusement park, kick everyone else out or wait till it closed down, and he'd hire the whole amusement park just to take his daughter to the, you know, the Ferris wheel. He was so famous. But he built his life on fame. Let me give a quote here from Elvis. He said, and this is Elvis, he said, "I swear to God, no one knows how lonely I get and how empty I really feel. I'm just so tired of being Elvis Presley." That was Elvis. The foundation for Elvis' life was fame. And guess what happened to poor old Elvis? He died in 1977. He was 42 years old. He died a drug addict. 42 years old. And Elvis, from what I'm told, was actually a really nice man. But his life was swept away because he had the wrong foundation. His foundation was fame. Now, the next fella was a fella called Howard Hughes. Who's ever heard of Howard Hughes? Some of the older people here would have heard of Howard Hughes. Very interestingly, his foundation for life was money. It was money. Now, he's a very clever man. He was born in 1905 in a town in... Now, this is ironic. He was born in a town in Texas, and that town was named Humble. And he did. He had humble beginnings. He came from a town called Humble. But he was a very, very smart man. He was a brilliant inventor. He was a pilot. He was a businessman. He was a film director. He was world famous. And at the time, he was one of the wealthiest men in the world. He had so much money, he didn't know what to do with it. He had many wives, girlfriends, women. He had no children. The latter part of his life, he was very mentally unstable. He was paranoid of germs. You know, to pick anything up, he used to use 6 layers of Kleenex tissue. Serious. And he would, evidently later in his life, he would walk around in empty tissue boxes because he didn't want to touch the ground. He was paranoid about germs, and yet he lived in filthy squalor. They said he never cut his toenails. And so year after year, he couldn't walk. His toenails were so long. He actually had this life of fame and so on. Someone wrote this. They said, "The money derived from the great icons of the 20th century, oil, movies, gambling, air and space, kept him apart from those who could have helped him and instead fueled the drug-ridden paranoia, driven 20-year descent into a living hell and finally tragic death of one of the great figures of the age." And he died in filthy squalor in 1976 at the age of 71. Here's a man whose foundation for life was money. He had so much money, he couldn't spend it all. And yet, his foundation was sand. And his life amounted to nothing. There's someone else, and the last one I wanted to mention this morning is another one who built their life on something else. And this man built his life on success. And if ever there was a worldly successful man, it was this fellow. His name was Steve Jobs. He was born in 1955. Of course, many of us would know of Steve Jobs. He died not long ago, in 2011. He was 56 years of age. He was a pioneer of the computer revolution, 70s and 80s. He was the co-founder of Apple. Apple, as in Apple phones and Macs and watches and all the rest of it. Do you know, in 2018, the assets of the Apple company is over, in Australian dollars, over $500 billion. In other words, Apple is worth over $500 billion Australian in assets. So he was wildly successful. He grew up and had some Christian influence on his life, but his life was based on success. He eventually turned to Buddhism. Let me quote Steve Jobs here, not long before he died. He said, "Sometimes I believe in God, Sometimes I don't. I think it's 50-50, maybe. But ever since I've had cancer, I've been thinking about it more. I find myself believing a bit more. Maybe it's because I want to believe in an afterlife. That when you die, it just doesn't all disappear. The wisdom you've accumulated, somehow it lives on. Was Steve Jobs a child of God? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I do know that he lived his life in a relentless pursuit of success. And as far as the world goes, yes, he was successful. But you know what? It seems as though his life was built on the sand. And his life was built with scarce a thought for the God who created him. What's the object of the lesson today? Well, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My friends, today you have a choice. What are you going to build your life on? Are you going to build it on money, success, fame, or most probably dozens of other things? Or are you going to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's only one sure way that your life will stand when the storms come. And that's to have your life built on Jesus. And that starts with knowing him. That starts with having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about religion here. Some people do build their lives on religion. The world's full of religion. But I'm talking about a relationship with Christ. Knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour. You say, why do we need a Saviour? Because we're all a bunch of sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the gospel message, gospel means good news, is that Jesus came to earth. God was born in human form as a little baby, lived about 33 years, lived a perfect life. But he died on the cross and he took the punishment. He bore the punishment that we deserve for our sins. God is a holy God and he cannot turn a blind eye to sin. But he said, I'm going to provide for you. So he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel message. That's the first step to have your foundation on Christ, is to admit you're a sinner and call on the Lord to save you. So, young person, one-way-ite, mums and dads, teenagers, visitors, church members, what are you building your life on this morning? Is it sand? Or is it rock? Is it sand or is it rock? I trust this morning that you've built your life, that you are building your life on the rock. And that foundation, that rock, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have every head bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back to Mr. Andrew. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you would say in your heart of hearts, Mr. Young, I don't know that I am a Christian. I don't know that Jesus lives in my heart. I don't know that I have that relationship with him. But I do know that my life is at the moment built on sand. Hey, my friend, you can come as a sinner to Jesus this morning. He died for you, he rose for you, and he will save you if you call on him in faith. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you might like to talk to the Lord, just you and the Lord, like this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I deserve punishment for my sins. I'm sorry that I've sinned, but I believe that you died for me on the cross, that you are a living Saviour today, and on the basis of your word, the promises of your word, I now call on you to save me. Please forgive my sins. Take residence in my heart. Make me a child of God. This day I believe. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray that you'll touch hearts this morning, whether boys and girls, whether adults, whether teens, touch hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has asked Christ to save them or has questions, please may they not leave this place without knowing that Jesus is the foundation of their lives. We pray these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.